You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
As we said, we are continuing our series entitled 10, Perfect Law, Perfect Love. A perfect law has come from the perfect love of God. There's nothing wrong with the law. What's wrong is our hearts. Our hearts have rebelled and strayed against, away from God, and which is why we needed a Savior. And so as you look at the series that we're going through, the Ten Commandments, you might ask and say, isn't that the Old Testament? That's the Old Covenant. We're in the New Covenant. That's true. But what the law was unable to achieve, Jesus Christ was able to give for us. And we will be able to fully appreciate what Jesus did if we look back at what the Scripture says. Now, we've been reviewing this the past few weeks. In fact, we've said that this particular passage of Scripture that we're on is really from the book of Exodus, which is a spectacular book where God sets His people free from slavery into freedom from Egypt to the Promised Land. He raises a man named Moses. Moses who met God through a burning bush. He raises a man named Moses who was really a foreshadowing of the coming of the ultimate deliverer, Jesus Christ. And so he raises him up to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. And so for a series of plagues that convinced Pharaoh to let him go. And then Moses led his people out, God's people out from slavery into freedom. Now, on the way to freedom, or on the way to the Promised Land, they got rerouted because of unbelief and because of lack of faith. And so they went through from Egypt up north, going down to Sinai, okay, the wilderness of Sinai. And so now God calls everybody together, about 1 million, 2 million, Bible scholars estimate that amount of people. He gets them together like a family meeting and says, okay, you were once these guys, but now I'm calling you out. I'm giving you your identity. You are not a part of the Egyptian culture. You are my people. I am the Lord your God. This is who I am, and I'm telling you who you are and how you are to live as my children. I'm not calling you my children because of what you've done. I'm calling you my children because you are. You don't become my children because of, you know, the list of rules and regulations you're able to follow. But because you're my children, these are the instructions I have because I love you and this is good for you. That's where God was coming from, which is why we also reviewed this the past few weeks. And, you know, whenever we start talking about each commandment, we go back to chapter 20, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God. This is who I am. And in verse, second part of that, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? He didn't say, do these things and I'll adopt you as my kids. He said, I've adopted you as my kids. Therefore, because you are my kids, these are the things that you are to do. These are my instructions. Setting the people free came first before even doing anything for him. And so verse 12, Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to ask us to stand up, if you could please. We want to honor God's word. We stand to honor the word of God. We're just reading one verse in Exodus chapter 20, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 12, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you that you have given us your word as not just a guide, but it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Lord, I pray that as we study the scriptures, Lord, I pray that your word would come by the Holy Spirit and, Lord, speak to every single one of us like the way when Peter preached, Lord, in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says that the word of God cut to their hearts. And Lord, I pray that your word would cut to our hearts today and speak to us, Lord. I pray it would not just be informational, but transformational. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. You may go and have a seat. Last year, I got to visit Israel, and it was interesting that our tour guide was someone who, I'd say, he's actually quite an archaeologist. He studied a lot on archaeology. And so when we went to a place called Sepphoris, which was the hometown of the parents of Mary, there, and when we were trekking up a small hill, he was looking around. He was actually looking on the ground. And so we were wondering why he was doing that. In fact, what he was doing was, after a while, he picked up a small, very small piece of glass, and he showed it to us. And he explained what it was. It had different colors. And he said, there's a lot of these because this was an area where the Roman Empire was here and there were a lot of perfume bottles in the area. And so he was explaining that this could be, you know, this is one of the fragments that you could see from way back in the Roman Empire. And so what we saw there, when we were looking at this thing, and it was just really a piece of glass, all right? We thought it was just a Sprite bottle glass or something like that. But when he said it was, you know, most likely was from the Roman era, and everybody said, wow. And so that was the reaction after he explained the information behind the perfume bottle. I say that because the reaction, okay, that we had and understanding what that piece of bottle was really, actually, it brings honor. That's what honor means. When you stand in awe and when you bring high regard and when you put weight on what just was said. Okay, so that's what honor is. We're going to talk about this today. Okay, it's from the Hebrew word kabed, which is weighty. Okay, which is similar to the word kabod, the glory of God. And so when you talk about this word, it is weighty. It is serious. It is a heavy kind of word in terms of impressiveness or importance, to place value, to consider it as a prized possession. And so in verse 12, when the Bible says, when God said in verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so he said, this is how you are to esteem them. This is how you are to treat them. This is how you are to see them, that you are to see them with high regard, that you honor them. I want you to do something for me for a moment. Okay, could you just close your eyes? Okay? Just close your eyes for a moment. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the face of your mom and consider these words. Honor your mother. Keep your eyes closed. Now think of the photo or the face of your dad and say this, honor your father. If you're a parent, consider these words, or at least think of the faces of your children today, and think of these words. Do my children honor me? You can open your eyes. You could sort of sense the complexity of what I'm about to talk to you about, what I'm up against right now. Because at certain levels, there's smiles on your faces when you think about your mom. At certain levels, you know, there's a lot of joy and fond memories with dad. But at certain levels, there's concern and there's, you know, thoughts that come to mind from memories in the past. And these are the things that are, when we talk about this subject, I want you to know it's the complexities of what this actually brings. That's extreme emotions. And so what I want to talk about right now, let me give you four FAQs. Frequently asked questions regarding this topic, this command of God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Number one, who do we honor? Okay, who do we honor? And so the Bible says, honor your father and mother, okay, that your days may be long in the land. Those days, the culture that they were in were very patriarchal. Very patriarchal. Dad was in charge. Mom did not have a say. Which means, okay, God here was going counter-cultural. He says, honor your father and your mother. He didn't say mom, or honor your dad or your mom. He said father and mother. And so I know that, you know, some of us will say, okay, I understand, Paolo. You know, honor my mom, that's so easy. But my dad, I'm not quite sure about that. If you knew what happened to us as kids, then you wouldn't even say that. But the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. There's no fine print. There's no exception clause. There's no ifs and buts. This is what the scripture says. And you see, when we honor our parents, we honor God through that design that he has set up. God has set up a design. This is these in the proverbial org chart. Dad and mom, kids. That's the org chart in the home. And so this is the setup, the design, the functionality that God has set up for you and for me in each family unit. And so when we honor our parents, we honor God through that design that He has set up. It's not or, it's both. We honor both. The ideal family unit is dad and mom together. And so some of you here, I mean, like, that's why favoritism is a dangerous thing. I don't know if you grew up with favoritism in the house. Mom's favorite was this guy. Daddy's favorite was this. Or if there's three of you, this is worse. Mom's favorite was your kuya. Okay, dad's favorite was your ate. And you were left right in the middle. And so that's a hard thing to go through. And many times in Scripture, if you read through, favoritism is not a good thing. You read Genesis. Okay, somebody got thrown into the pit. Somebody got sold into slavery because of favoritism. Read Genesis. It's interesting. Every time we would go to a reunion, I would get asked that question often. Who's your favorite? Is it your 20-year-old son who's your oldest? Is it your 17-year-old daughter, your only girl, your princess? Is it your 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old son who's, you know, who's kind of more like you? You know, you're outdoorsy and you like basketball. Or is it the youngest who's the baby who's 7 years old but still looking like a baby, all right? Who's your favorite? And you said, Nathan is my favorite 20-year-old son. Janina is my favorite 17-year-old daughter. Ryan is my favorite 12-year-old son. And Joaquin is my favorite 7-year-old son. You get the point. Everybody's my favorite. This, as parents, we need to watch out for that. When we're playing favorites, that actually divides the family. Now, children learn to honor their parents by watching how parents treat each other. Okay, some men are overbearing, harsh, grating, unkind. They want to be in charge all the time. They end up criticizing, belittling, lambasting their wives. This is a dangerous thing as well. Do you think about those kids will grow up honoring their mom if they watch this from their dads? No. Well, some of them will probably react and say, "Dad's such a jerk." But the others will just line up to the example and pattern that they've seen growing up. And so again, children learn to honor their parents. Who do we honor? Both. Father and mother. No exception clause, no fine print, no footnotes. Number two, second question that I get asked often. Why should we honor them? Why do we have to honor them? The Bible says this, that your days may be long in the land. Now, I want to give a caveat here because sometimes we can quote this out of context. He was explaining this, that your days, plural, as a community, as a nation, that your days may be long in the land. Because sometimes when we just claim this, not understanding where God was coming from, then we can quote and say, okay, just, you know, just honor your father and your mother, and then, you know, you're going to live long lives. But the question is, how about those who honored their parents but died very young? Did they not honor their parents? Our pastor in Alabang, his son passed away when he was 9 years old. Jerome honored his parents. Did that mean he did not fulfill the promise or God didn't fulfill his? No. And so here we need to understand the context where this verse is coming from. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, at the other side then also, and here's a thing I want to share with you. Children, obey your parents, the Bible says in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, Dr. Ted Tripp, in his book, Shepherding Your Child's Heart, this has been very helpful for my wife and I through the years of parenting our children, talked about the circle of blessing. And when he talked about the circle of blessing, when you honor and when you obey, you're in that circle. Which means the Bible says everything will go well with you and that you will have long life. But if you dishonor and disobey, you're actually getting out of this circle. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about the curses and the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. But when you honor and when you obey, you know, the Bible says you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll have success in life, victory over your enemies. But if you get out of the circle, Deuteronomy 28 also says, you know, there's going to be diseases, there's enemies, there's curses, there's confusion, no success, and danger. And so the rescue function for parents to bring our kids back into the circle is really discipline. I need us to understand this because this is very important. As Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 3 talks about, this is the context. Now, we honor our parents not for our benefit, but we do it for the glory of God. Why? And why am I saying this statement? You see, sometimes we honor God and say, okay, Lord, I want to honor you. I want to honor my parents because these are the benefits. Listen, the benefits are the byproduct of why you're honoring your parents. But ultimately, the purpose is for you to glorify God. Are you guys getting this? This is so critical for us to understand. Think about this. When we begin to think in terms, in these terms, I want to do this because I think what this is what's best for me. When you know what? When you think that way, you will not always do what's best for you. You will actually make decisions that are not best for you in the end because it becomes selfish. But when we make a decision for the glory of God, the byproduct of that, the result of that will be these benefits. You guys follow? We're not after the benefits. We're after the glory of God. But after that, God does bring these benefits. Pastor Joey, you know, you've probably heard him talk about his son Joseph, who's also one of our pastors now. And he, when he, you know, almost lost his life some more than 10 years ago, when he fell and hit his head and cracked his skull, literally. And right at Medical City, Pastor Steve, our founder for Victory Philippines, and Pastor Joey were talking. And you know what Pastor Steve told Pastor Joey? He said, you know, Joey, it was a moment when it was 50-50, 60-40, if Joe could actually survive that head trauma. He said, you know what, I believe your son, I know that your son's going to survive this. He said, I know he's going to survive this. And Joey, of course, needed the encouragement and said, why do you say that? He said, you know what, all, we've been neighbors through these years. And all these years, I have seen Joe honor you and Marie. And I know that the promise of God is in effect in his life. That he will live long and that he it'll go well with him. And true enough, how many of you know? I mean, he's one of our pastors today. Amen. And he's a thriving marriage and wonderful young son. And so, question number two. Okay, why do we honor? We honor our parents for the glory of God. And then the benefits will just come. Number three, how do we honor? What do you mean by honoring? Okay, we honor by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Let me throw other scriptures on the screen. Matthew 12, 24, the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, and so through our thoughts, we can honor them by cultivating how? A grateful heart. When we cultivate a grateful heart, do our hearts filled with hatred, with bitterness, with disrespect, ungratefulness? Or is it filled with honor and respect and thanksgiving and forgiveness? Okay? Because what's in there will actually show up. What's on the inside will eventually show up on the outside. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instruction will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. Okay, obviously, it's metaphoric. And however, this is what he's saying. When we do this, there's bad consequences. Actually, when you look at the circle of blessing, when we explain the circle of blessing to our children, the benefit is really not for mom and dad. The benefit is really for them. When we teach our children to honor their parents, it's really not for us. It's really for them. Next one, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. And I am the Lord your God. You know, he uses the word revere. Revere is a serious word. Okay, in action, in our deeds, we're to do this. Whether that would be tone of voice, teenagers, tone of voice, voice inflections, rolling of the eyes, or banging of the door, or when mom and dad are talking and you're just on your phone checking your Instagram feed. You know, these are ways to honor or dishonor, respect or disrespect through our words and through our deeds. Now, do you mean children can't disagree or teenagers can't disagree with parents anymore? Listen, that's one of the things that you get to do as you grow up. You actually form your own ideas. You're able to create your own thoughts. And as parents, we need to be secure enough that our kids will eventually disagree with us at one point. But kids, teenagers, are you doing this in a way that is honoring to your parents? The question is not, we don't... Because again, olden days, why are you responding? Why are you talking back? Now, talking back in a disrespectful manner is wrong. But responding in an honoring way is not necessarily wrong. You see, we honor our parents through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. I do want to say this. Honoring and obeying does not necessarily mean the same thing. Let me explain. Because the Bible says whenever we honor God, we are to honor Him first, and then, of course, the authority structures that He has set up for us. But if honoring our parents begins to contradict with honoring God, then we're going to have to reconsider. What do I mean? You know, somebody said it this way, you're a child for a little while, but you're somebody's child forever. Okay, you're a child for a little while. I have a 20-year-old son. He's really an adult now. The way I would treat him is very different from the way I would treat my 7-year-old Joaquin. I cannot tell my 20-year-old son, okay, time to brush your teeth. You don't do that anymore. My 7-year-old, he has to obey. And when I say, okay, Joaquin, time to brush your teeth. He has to obey. But at a certain point, that ceases, that ends. Why? Because the goal is for me to be able to release him to make his own decisions. That's why sometimes we see 35-year-olds, 40-year-olds still relying on mommy and daddy's decision and decision-making prowess. Okay, but this is so important. And let me show you a diagram. When our kids from zero to adulthood, when they get to adulthood, their dependence on you and me will actually diminish. That is just plain simple truth. And that's reality. They won't be dependent on you. You don't have to keep on changing their clothes or put that bimpo on the back. You know that, right? You put the towel in the back. They're already 25 years old. Oh, honey, you're sweaty. Let's put that towel in the back of your shirt, all right? Their dependence on you will decrease. But here's the goal, that their dependence on God will increase. That will be to your honor. That will be to your glory. That will be to your honor when you release them into the world. That their first reaction, what does God want me to do? More than what does mommy want me to do? Or what does daddy want me to do? I pray that one day when my kids are out, their first response, what does God want me to do? What will please God? Not what will please mommy. And you know what? If this is what pleases God, it's going to please us. That's just the eventuality of it. Fourth question. This is a question I get asked all the time. What if they're not honorable? Who do we honor? Mom and dad. Why do we honor them? For the glory of God and the benefits of that. It's just the byproduct. Okay. How do we honor God? By cultivating a heart of gratefulness, by action, word, and deed. And then fourthly, I get asked this question all the time, what if they're not honorable? You don't know, you have no clue, Paolo, what I went through growing up. Am I not allowed to have any pain? I get you. I understand where you're coming from. And yes, there is pain. Obviously, there is pain. But what do we do with this command in these types of circumstances? Verse 12, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There's no exception clause, as I said, no fine print, no footnotes. It doesn't say, do this if you have kind parents. It doesn't say, do this if you have honorable parents. It doesn't say, if you have exceptional parents, do this. Now, let me give you practical ways to do to be able to honor. Number one, okay, these are five quick thoughts. Okay, we don't have a lot of time. I wish I had a longer time, but to be able to expound on this. But number one, give grace. Give grace. You see, some of us have created expectations that are simply unreasonable. What happened? You know, the Bible does say it is to your glory to overlook an offense. That's what the Bible says. But here's the thing. Sometimes we expect something we ourselves would never expect for ourselves, for us to be able to achieve. And so we've raised expectation. Cut them some, give them some slack. Okay? Your parents, all right, are fallen, sinful people that need Jesus. And who else are like those? That's you also. Okay? Look at the person beside you. Tell him he's talking about you. Okay? That's us. All right? So give grace. And if God has overwhelmingly given us grace, it would be great if we can also extend that same grace we've received. Next one, give forgiveness. See, here's the thing. If we don't forgive our parents, if you don't forgive your parents, those of you who are asking this question, if you don't forgive your parents, you'll become like your parents. How do I? Let me explain. There's a spiritual principle here. I'm not just trying to be scandalous or anything like that. Here's the reason why. It's like when they offended you, when there's sin, when they sin against you, it's like there's a virus there. You're infected now. And the way to relieve and to cleanse you and to be able to, the antidote for this, it's really forgiveness. Why? Because if you don't forgive, that infection carries through your bloodstream, quote unquote, and through bitterness, that continues on until you make that decision to forgive. Until. And so, you know, you hate your parents, and yet you grow up to become just like them. That's a hard thing. Why? Because there's no forgiveness. Forgiveness begins to cut off that line and says, this is no longer going to continue. That's what forgiveness is. There was a guy who, you know, would always berate his wife, and he would talk down on her and belittle her and speak harshly to her. And his kids would watch this day in and day out. And so they didn't have a divorce, but the wife, after the kids have grown up, the wife just separated and said, I can't live with this any longer. The reason why I stayed with her, with him rather, is because of the children. Now that there's no kids, I'm no longer putting up with this. He's living alone now. And the son has grown up. Okay, guess what? There was a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of bitterness. You know what happened? He ended up becoming like that to his wife. And his belittling and his harshness really pushed his wife away. Wife couldn't take it any longer. Guess what happened? Left him, and he's also living by himself. All by himself. It becomes a cycle. Listen, this is a hard teaching. But it is the truth. We need as a people and as a church to stop this cycle. We can stop it now. We can. Next one, give honor. What does it mean to give honor? Pastor Dennis Isleta, who is our lead pastor for the 2 p.m. and the 4 p.m., he's a colonel, retired colonel. Because he felt a call to ministry, so he's now in ministry. And Pastor Dennis Isleta, I was asking him, because he was talking about the saying they have in the PMA, Philippine Military Academy, salute the rank. You might have heard of that. Or salute the uniform. And so they have the saying, salute the rank, salute the uniform. Though you may not necessarily respect the guy who wearing the uniform, he says, he's a lieutenant. You salute the rank. You salute the uniform. So it doesn't matter if the guy is the best guy in the company, or in the battalion, or you don't like his face at all, salute the rank. Let me tell you something. God has placed your parents as your authority. I understand the bitter. If I tell you, some of you, you know my story. I've told you my story. And that's why I know this is coming from a place of understanding. Salute, because you honor motherhood and fatherhood may not necessarily honor the person, but you honor the fatherhood and the office and the personhood. And then give an example. That's the fourth one. And I'm trying to do this as fast as I can. If you're a person that does not honor your father and your mother, you will raise children that don't honor you. Because you're setting a precedent. You're setting something in motion. Give an example. You see, when we dishonor our parents, we model it to our children. We're setting a pattern. Watch out for that. And that's why when my kids begin to dishonor and disrespect their mom, hey, come here. You need to stop that. That woman is my girlfriend. She's the love of my life. She's my wife. You cannot speak to her that way, ever. Is that clear? Yes, Daddy. And that has to be clear to them. Because if they realize mom and dad honor one another, they're going to honor their parents too. And they are going to set a pattern for their own family, culture, and history. We got to think long term, not just now. Finally, give thanks. Give thanks. I'll end with this one. I want to tell you this. I know, again, I didn't see my dad for 15 years. They split up before my first birthday. I saw him first when I was 16 years old. But you know, there's always something to thank God for your parents. Always. Start by getting born. You wouldn't even be here today if mom and daddy didn't meet each other. Start with that. At the very least, start with that. Say, thank you, Lord. I am alive today. This man right here, his name is Dave. He's one of our campus missionaries in Victory Green Hills. The guy on the left, in the blue shirt. He works with our campus ministry in Green Hills, as I said. And it was nice that last year that I got to speak at length with him, because during our Ignite conference, every other year, we have this big conference among young people. We had it in, where was it? Araneta, if I'm not mistaken. About 13,000, 12,000 young people jumping up and down. Okay, you will need earplugs by the end of the, or by the, by, you know, the whole time, screaming and shouting. But Dave was telling us a story, telling me a story. He was asking me, Pastor Paul, I heard about your story. How can I honor my dad? Because, you know, in a couple of weeks, I'm getting married. Can you pray for me? And so I told him, you know, there's always something to thank God for regarding your dad. It's always something. Or mom, again, whatever the case is in your situation. And so we prayed. And you know what? The Lord gave him a way to honor his parents, particularly his dad. He actually wrote me an email. If you could just let me read the email. This is what he said. He said, my dad left us before I entered high school. It was one of the devastating times in my life. Prior to him leaving us, we weren't that close to begin with, and his departure only caused my heart, okay, to hate him or think of how I can prove myself that I can live life without him. But Jesus took over. I got saved and I was in college, and I encountered God's grace. Forgiving others as Christ forgave me is one of the things that's not the easiest thing to do. It was a gradual process of asking God for the grace to forgive my dad. We saw each other eventually, and after almost 10 years, and I managed to say that I forgive him and I love him. I thought that that was it. Listen to this. But I realized that forgiveness is a decision not just done once, but done every time God reveals something in our hearts that we need to forgive. Honoring is like that as well. It is not just an event or a special day to honor our parents. It is a lifestyle we should be living. Wedding day came. Okay, they got married. There was no bitterness in my heart, just love and appreciation that he was there. And that is where I started when I started honoring my dad in my wedding day. I appreciated my dad for being there in my wedding. I shared the time when I was young, and while he was driving, he would sometimes let me sit in his lap and pretend to let me drive. During those times, I felt secure. He taught me how to tie a particular knot during a father and son camp when I was in grade school. It made me feel that I can do anything in life if I keep at it. Apart from the grace of God, these memories would have been clouded by bitterness. But God's grace is more abundant. He turned these memories into something that glorifies Him. Those were the times God was using my dad to tell me that He secures me, provides for me, and is with me, and that everything would be all right. I honored my dad during my wedding day, not because God commanded me to do so, but because I know His grace changed my broken heart to becoming whole to the point that I actually want to honor Him. Of course, there's still a lot of work to be done with my relationship with my dad. We exchange texts and calls from time to time. He now has a new family, but I love him and I bless him, and I'm praying that God would encounter him as well. That's the story of Dave. And it's just so interesting how, you know, during the wedding day, this is a picture. He showed me a picture of how he was up there standing in front of everybody and honored his dad and said, "Dad, I love you. I honor you." And he began to tell the story of the things that were his fond memories with dad. And this is the picture with dad and mom. I tell you this story because that's what forgiveness does. It's the antidote to this infection. Because if not, that's going to just continue from generation to generation to generation. And you see, when you talk about forgiveness, it's making a decision to let the person off the hook. And when you let the person off the hook, it's like you're saying, "Dad, okay, I'm putting this in God's hands because forgiveness, justice will be served. It's either served onto Jesus and the cross, or will be served in the future when the day of reckoning comes. But for now, you and me, Dad, I'm forgiving you." And so that's why the cross is so important. Okay, and to understand that this is by which we can, the manner by which we can forgive, that we can honor, because it's been shown to us. Amen. Can we just bow our heads and pray? We're going to take a moment to ask the Lord for His grace to make certain decisions. Lord, I pray for, Lord, us this morning, Lord, as we wrap up our time here. Lord, there's a lot of things, Lord, that, Lord, would speed through our minds right now. And Lord, there are, Lord, many of us, Lord, have grown up with wonderful dads and moms. And Lord, what a privilege that is, God. And I pray, Lord, that many more would actually have that experience. Lord, that we would be able to continue to start, or continue to prolong and Lord, see that happen through the generations. But Lord, some of us also may have gone through a difficult time growing up. And so, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, certain decisions will have to be made today, Lord, to honor mom and dad. Not just dad, but mom. Not just mom, but also dad. Mom and dad. And Lord, there might be pain of favoritism or offense or words that have been said, or maybe abandonment. Lord, we speak into that situation, and we pray that you will bring healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're here today, as you bow your heads, and those of you who are watching on live stream, I think the first step is really for God to bring a healing in your heart. And sin was done against you, but it was also sin that offended Christ, that brought him to the cross. And to some of us, the first step is really asking God to heal our hearts by Jesus restoring, redeeming, saving, justifying us from our sin. If that's you today, if you want to surrender your life to Christ so that He could be Lord and Savior of your life, that He could bring healing, restoration, forgiveness for your sin, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If that's you today, I feel there's a few of you that need to make that decision. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Just lift up your hands. Anybody else? If you're saying, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. Past hurts, offenses, even my offense against you. I need your forgiveness. I need your healing. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Wherever you're at, pray this prayer. Say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. And through the cross, I can have healing. Not just physical healing, but emotional healing. And most importantly, spiritual healing. I've been separated from you because of sin. But Lord, today, because of Jesus Christ, I can have forgiveness for sin. Heal my heart, Lord. Restore me. And Lord, as I receive your forgiveness, you will enable me to forgive. You will empower me to release this forgiveness. In Jesus' name, you can put your hands down. Can we all stand? I wanna end. I hope today was not just informational, but transformational, as we prayed for. That we would leave today with certain decisions. Whether that's an email, a text, a one-on-one, face-to-face coffee with a person that you need to restore that relationship with. I want to pray for you as we leave today. Amen? But that you would decide to honor no matter what. Amen? Lord, I pray for every person in this room as we leave today. Lord, speak to us. Touch our hearts. Lord, we want to honor you. And so whatever you desire for us to do, give us the grace and empower us to be able to follow through. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.